I believe the Lord has something specific he wants to minister to you today on. I believe that there are people in here that believe they have a hard time hearing from God. I believe there's some in here that don't think they hear from God at all. I believe today the Holy Spirit is going to share some truths with you that are going to set you free in that area. I believe those that have been deceived are going to be deceived no more in that area of their life. You can hear from God. You can hear from God in every situation, every circumstance that comes before you. You can hear from God, and we're going to talk about that. You know, this, I've been calling this a year of alignment. This is a year of alignment. Year of alignment for the body of Christ to come in align with the plan, the whole mystery that has been revealed in the earth about the church. That we're going to come in alignment with that as a whole, as the universal body of Christ. We're going to come in alignment with that as a church here at Christian Growth Center. And I believe that individuals are coming into alignment with their assignment. Amen? For the final awakening, the last reformation, and the greatest revival this earth has ever seen. We are in those times, I believe. In my heart of hearts, I believe we are in those times. And that we need to be about the Father's business, don't we? I want to read something to you, and I'm going to ask Miss Judy Grady to start making her way up here as I read this. We're talking about coming in alignment with our assignment, right? And I want Judy to give a testimony how she is coming in alignment with her assignment. And this is a book that she has written. She has written, it's called Home Free in Me. And I want to read this introduction to you as she makes her way up here. It says, this is a story of a new beginning for me. From a deep, dark place in my life, a place of the deepest grief that anyone could ever know. Unless you are a mother and have lost a child, you can never know. It is a loss like no other, one that can cause death from a broken heart. This is a story of one of the most unlikely connections ever. It involves the country music a cappella group Home Free Vocal Band and me. This connection is because of an assignment the Lord gave me, one that delivered me from the clutches of grief. A combination that is humorous when you think about it. Home Free is made up of five young men, and they sing mostly country songs, a cappella, and have a beatboxer. Me, this is her words, not mine, a hill hick from the mountains of Virginia, and a great, great grandmother, someone who doesn't like country music. With that, I'm going to have y'all welcome Judy. She's going to give a testimony how God...
As you know, Pastor Todd has been giving us the messages about assignments. And my assignment actually started in late 2016 after the death of my oldest son, Eddie Jr. And of course, the year before, I had lost my youngest son, my baby, Tony. And I was really in a great, great, deep, dark place of grief. Actually, I honestly believe if the Lord had not come to me in the manner in which he did, I wouldn't be here today. Because that was how far down in grief I was. And it started out very, you know, someone sent me a link to a video they did of Amazing Grace. And the Lord kept prompting me to watch that, to watch that. And every time I asked him why, what could I possibly get out of Amazing Grace? And as the time went on, the Lord said to me, what your amazing grace was to you you're to be for home free. Well, at that time I knew who my Amazing Grace was, and it was my grandmother. And she had passed in 1990, I guess it was. And she was our family prayer warrior. And she did a lot of battles. And she was my prayer warrior, for certain. And anyway, as it went on, I kept asking God, why? What? He said, what your Amazing Grace was for you, you are to be for home free. Your sons are with me. So I yielded, and I've been the prayer warrior for prayer warrior grandmas, I call myself to them, for home free. But it is a very unlikely combination because I hate country music. I hate it. I've never really liked country music. And so that's, you know, and I yield myself to the Lord to be whatever He needs me to be for these young men. I've seen a few things in the last couple of months that are changes in their life. And the most recent one was on Friday. I received a message about one of them had, somebody had said something, I guess some lady in the audience at their last concert. A little bit off color, I think. And the youngest one in the group that reminds me so much of my great-grandson, Tori, he said, sweetie, you need Jesus. I just thought that was the cutest. And I can see these things now. Things changing, just slight changes in their lives. And they've added a couple of more hymns to their set list in their concerts. But the one thing that I have to continue on with is being in my assignment, and that is my assignment. But I guess I had to be in the place I was in order for God to use me, because as you all know, I'm not a really flamboyant person. I just hate black, brown, and gray. That's why I wear purple, red, and blue. I hate black, brown, and gray. It falls in there with country music. So, anyway, but
Judy, when did God call you to start praying for that band?
It was December of 2016. Like I said, I'd lost both of my sons, and I just got way down in depression. I mean, it was pulling me down. And my Aunt Linda had sent me to that video link, and I didn't listen to it at first because I didn't want to. I didn't want anything, anybody, anywhere, anytime messing with me. I was in grief. I'd lost my sons. What was I going to do? What was I going to do? Tony was my best friend, my buddy, my baby. I don't care if he weighed 275 pounds, he was still my baby. And we were so close.
Would you say that your assignment since December 2016 has grown or expanded? You talk about that a little bit in the book.
Yes. Oh, yes. And I do have an appointment with Home Free on the 31st. And so we'll see where we go from there.
And you're going to share your book with them because they do not
Yes, I am going to give the book to each one of them. I have three of the parents that have already asked me for a copy of the book, their parents, and so I'm going to send it to them. Also, their music producer, he has asked me for a copy. And I imagine their manager, too. I'm going to give him one whether he asks me or not. Corner him on the 31st. He can't go too far out of that place, wherever we're meeting. Yeah. And so, but yes, and the book is not for sale. I had first thought I would sell it, and then the Lord changed that. And then I thought, well, if anybody wanted it and wanted me to send it to them, I just, for the cost of printing and postage. But the Lord has redirected that. The book is a ministry tool. I am not to sell it, and I am to give it to people that the Lord directs me to give it to.
Well, that goes right along with Scripture. It says, freely you've been given, so freely give.
Right, right. But, I can't stop now. I have to go on. I fully understand whatever I'm to do, God will give me the grace and the strength to do it.
Amen.
And I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that I would be doing something like this today in my life. But last June, I had been asked at work when I was planning on retiring, because I had voiced that. And it was like the Lord said, December. And so went on for a few days, and I said, okay, I have to tell my department chair that I'm leaving in December. She can make provisions for that, so forth. And I said, Lord, I'm going to have to quit because I don't have time to work and keep my assignment going. So I quit work so I could keep up my assignment.
Amen. And that was after how many years did you have at Virginia Tech?
I had a little bit over 18 years with Virginia Tech and working for 55 years.
55.
So I decided that it was time to stop that. And the Lord, he just made it so clear to me. And it's been about a month. Mm-hmm. I came up to have Pastor Shaw to pray for me about the door, the closing door and the opening doors and so forth. And I saw the Virginia Tech door close behind me. Mm-hmm. And I was standing in front of that closed door looking out. And it was as if the Lord said to me, take that next step. And my mind was reasoning, what are you going to step on? There's nothing out there except like the clouds, horizon of the earth. And it came to me, trust me, your steps will be supported. And I took that first step, and God's hand was there. The next step, and God's hand was there. And then I got 3 calls from the temp pool at Tech, offering me positions, and I turned them all down. That door is closed, God reminded me. That door is closed. Do not open it again. Go forth doing what your assignment is. And do that until I change it.
Praise God.
So that's where we are.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Judy. Thank you for sharing. Wanda wants to share
something.
You said that you never, in your wildest dreams, believed you would be here today doing this. You know why you're here? The Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, Judy's been faithful in the little things, and now I'm causing her to be ruler over much. I don't know if you all know, for those of you who have not been here for a while, but Judy has been faithful to serve in this year church. How many years, Judy? 33 years, faithful, every Sunday, be here, hostess. Judy, you've been faithful. And God always rewards faithfulness. And this is a reward for you. Because He knew He could trust you with this. You were trustful. He could trust you all the years to come and stand at the place of greeting people. To some people, that's not much. But in God's eyes, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
And so His word says, Judy, and Judy, always when I would look at you over the years, I would say, God, bless Judy, because the word says that the faithful will abound in blessings. And so this is a blessing from the hand of God for you out of your faithfulness. And as you were telling that story and about your book, you don't know yet how far-reaching this is. You don't know yet how many lives this is going to touch. But I can tell you, God says you've been faithful over a little. He's causing you to be ruler over much. Many lives will be touched.
Amen.
Because of your faithfulness. You've aligned with your assignment 30-some years ago. You just have a different assignment now. And so we can rejoice in God. I'm so excited for
yes.
her. And that gives me encouragement.
Amen.
For all of us, as we're faithful in our assignments, He's going to cause us to be ruler over much. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Amen. Amen. Love you. Love you. Isn't that good? You know, what is amazing to me is that God called her to that assignment when she was in the lowest part of her life. He can reach down and pull you out of that miry clay no matter where you are. He has an assignment for each and every one of us. No matter how ridiculous it sounds. No matter how hates country music, but she is ministering to a country music band, and they are receiving it. I mean, go look them up. They go over the entire nation. Been to Europe. They've been all over. Do not despise small beginnings. God has chosen the foolishness of this world to confound the wise. So no matter what He's speaking to you, and we're going to talk about knowing that it's of God today, no matter what He's speaking to you, don't let go of it. Judy acted on it. And I believe much. This is just the beginning, Judy. Just like Wanda, and that's confirmation, this is just the beginning of what's going to happen with that group. And don't be surprised if God lays on your heart another one. Don't be dismayed. Good things are happening. And you're going to see much fruit from it. And this is a result. And this is what I want to talk about today. This is a result when we align ourselves. And what I'm talking about today is aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit. You know, if there's a trend here, we're talking about getting in alignment. Aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that when we do that, you're going to hear from God, and I believe there's some people in here that have trouble hearing from God or think they can't hear from God. You're going to be delivered from that today. You're going to be delivered from that today. Amen? Amen. Aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit. I mean, let's start here. God sent Jesus into the earth, right? We can agree on that. I mean, John 3, 6, God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son, right? God sent Jesus. Well, Jesus did what He came to do. He fulfilled His assignment. And at the cross, He said, "It is finished." And He meant that. His assignment in this earth was finished. But what did He tell His disciples? He said, "I'll send another. It's expedient that I go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit." Amen? And the Holy Spirit remains. The Holy Spirit is with us today. In fact, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of you. And that's where we get to the victorious life. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of us, and we recognize that gift from God, that gift that Jesus gave us when He went to sit at the right hand of the Father. When we recognize that gift, there's peace in that. There's joy. We can talk about all the... There's peace, joy, love, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, self-control. All those things we can have in our life, and it helps us to have the victorious life, to live the victorious life. And I love what you said, Judy, about When we've been talking about open doors, and we know that when God shuts a door, no man can open it. And when he opens a door, no man can shut it. And when she saw herself out in front of that shut door, and thank God you've been obedient, even when you've been tempted to come back with calls from them, you've been obedient to stay true to what you saw and heard God speak to you. And she looked out and she didn't see a way, but as she took a step, those steps of faith, God was there to support her. We have to be like that. We have to have such faith that we can step out on God's word, even when we don't see where it's going. What does he say? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Even when we don't see where they're going to end up or where they're going, steps of faith, right? And he'll meet you at your place of need. And then you take another step of faith. And then you take another and another. Amen? The victorious life. So what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? How do we tap into that? What if, you know, I'm sure there are people here that say, you know, I pray, I talk to God, I'm believing for certain things, but I just don't see it. I can't recognize it. Well, I hope today that you're listening, that I believe you're going to get some answers. If that's you. Amen. Let's look at, and most of us, when we say, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I can imagine that most of us would go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and y'all can turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, not second, but first. And most of us, when we say, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? We would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Let's start in 7. And we could list these. We could list what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? If we say, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life? We would turn here. And it says, but to each one is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. Verse 8. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. And to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between spirits, the false ones and the true ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues, and to another, the ability to interpret such tongues. And that's what I think a lot of us would say, you know, when we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? And we would look to these gifts. Because it says, right there, it says that he would manifest himself this way. But I'm here to tell you today that the number one ministry of the Holy Spirit, the number one way that the Holy Spirit communicates with you, the number one way that the Holy Spirit manifests himself in your life is through that inner witness. It's through that inner witness. He communicates his presence to us through that small, still voice on the inside of us. That small, still voice on the inside of us. And we know that he's on the inside of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us in verse 19. I'll read it for you. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? And then he says something here. You are not your own. You are not your own. You were bought and paid for with a tremendous price. The very Son of God gave his blood, died for you. You are not your own. You may be living on this earth. You may be doing your thing on this earth, but you are not your own. You were bought and paid for a higher purpose. And I'm here to tell you, it wasn't just to wake up every morning, go to work, come home, eat dinner, and go to sleep. And on Sundays, come and sit for an hour or so. You were bought and paid for a higher price. You are not your own. You have a higher responsibility. Amen? So how does the Holy Spirit minister to us? How does He talk to us? I believe the number one way He does that is through that inner witness. Through that inner witness. Because He came to dwell on the inside of us. When we were reborn, you can think back to the day. If you can remember to the day when you got born again. Or how many is in here been baptized, water baptized? Raise your hands high. If you've been water baptized, this is what I do when I baptize someone with water, and maybe it was similar with you. But, you know, you're getting ready to be dunked, right? And we know baptism is submersion, not sprinkling, submersion. So when you're getting ready to be dunked, I say, the Lord baptized you, we now baptize you in the name of the Holy, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Be dead in Christ, and you go under the water, and be risen to new life. Why do we say that? Because that old man died in Christ, and that new man, just like Jesus was resurrected, that new man rises up, and now you are born again, and you are infilled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. That's the new birth. That's the new birth. So old things are passed away. Behold, new things. The new things. The new birth. We die to the things of this world. And we are risen to the things of heaven. In fact, it says we're citizens of a different country when we're born again. Right? We live in this earth, but we are not of it anymore when we are born again. In fact, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus here in a couple weeks, right? We don't celebrate Easter in this church. We celebrate Resurrection Day. We don't want to be associated with bunnies and eggs, right? Resurrection Day. Well, guess what? On that day, you can celebrate you too. Because just like He was resurrected and is risen, you, your old self is dead, and your new self has risen and been resurrected. So you can celebrate yourself. Hey, you can have two birthdays. Your birthday into this earth and your resurrected birthday. Amen? Just happens mine are close together. Some of y'all got to wait. And so that's where He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you on the inside. He speaks internally. Jesus said, I only speak what I hear the Father say. Do you think He heard an audible voice every time He had something to say? No. The Father was speaking to His inner man, to the Spirit within Him. And then Jesus was saying that out of His mouth. Turn to John. Chapter 14. John chapter 14. Again, what are we talking about? Aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we need that ministry in our life. We need to rely on that gift that is inside of us. We need to rely on that voice. Because we live in a dark, dangerous, ugly, fallen world. So we need to rely on that gift that is on the inside of us. John chapter 14, verse 10 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? This is Jesus talking. What am I telling you? I do not say on my own authority. And what I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord. But the Father who lives continually in me does His works, His own miracles, His deeds of power. So that is where He is speaking to us, on the inside. Now, there are times when you may hear, I've not heard it myself. In fact, well, I take that back. There, I had a dream one time. I won't go into the details of the dream because I believe it's for something yet to come. But I believe I was shown something very specific, and it was for me personally in my life. And I, in my dream, heard the booming voice. I know it was like it was laying right beside me in my bed. And there'll be times when, in fact, Jesus heard the audible voice of God. This is my son who I am well pleased. Thank you. This is my beloved son whom I am well pleased. I got whom, who. Y'all get the picture. So there are times when you may hear an audible voice. But it's that small, still, inner voice that is going to lead and guide you. Amen? So, John chapter 14, let's turn look at verse 21 and verse 22. Again, we're talking about aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit. And I specifically said that if you have had trouble hearing from God or think you don't hear from God, I want you to listen to what we're talking about today. And I believe it's going to make a change in your life. And it will get you on track. Listen to this. It'll get you on track with your assignment that the Lord has for you. Verse 21, it says, 14:21. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, that is, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. And Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself or make yourself real to us and not to the world? So he's asked a question, how? How are you going to reveal yourself? How are you going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Well, Jesus answers him in 23. He says, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word. He will obey my teaching. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place with him. And anyone who does not really love me or does not observe and obey my teaching, and the teaching which you hear and heed is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you these things while I'm still with you. But, the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, that is to say, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall, that is, remind you and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. It's through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, he said it right there. He said, the Comforter will come. And I like the way the King James says it. It says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, when we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit, four things happen. Four things. No, there's more than that, but I want to share four things that happen when we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit. And I just read the first two, right there in verse 26. And let me read it out of the King James again. In the second part, he said, I shall teach you all things. And all things, I will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. I'll teach you all things, and I'll bring all things to your remembrance. Then 3 and 4, and I'm going to give you all 4, and we're going to talk about them. If you turn to John 16, John 16 and verse 13, And I'll read out of King James. It says, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Those are the other two things. He will guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. So when we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit, four of these things happen. He teaches us all things. He brings all things to our remembrance. He guides us to all truth, and he shows us things to come. Teaches us all things. But also, not only does he teach them to us, he brings them to our remembrance in time of need. I thought, where was he when I was in college? Studying for those tests. I was getting the knowledge, putting it in, right? But if I'd have known the whole... See, I wasn't born again when I was in college. I didn't have that. So I was living a different life. That was the old dead me. In fact, I don't even remember that person anymore. I don't even think on that person anymore. Trust me, you don't want me to remember that person anymore. But I think, man, that'd have been cool to have the gift of the Holy Spirit, all these things that I've been putting in, all this knowledge, and then he would bring it back to my remembrance in my time of need. But that's what the attitude you have to have. When you hear things, when God shares something with you, whether it's here or listening to the radio or watching a program on TV or talking to someone in fellowship, and God reveals something to you on the inside, okay? He's teaching you something. And you're going to need that. It may be for that moment. It may be for a moment down the road. But what you have to understand, and I believe that you have to operate on, is that he's teaching it and he's going to bring it back to your remembrance when you have need of that. Amen? He's going to bring it back to your remembrance. Then it says, 3 and 4, it says he guides us to the truth. So that when he shows us things to come, listen, this I believe this is why, or at least part of the reason why he guides us to the truth. Okay, let me put it that way. Part of the reason why he guides, it's not all inclusive. I would never want to do that. Part of the reason why he guides us to the truth is so that when he shows us things to come, we can make sure that they align with the truth that he has guided us to. In other words, we can trust that thing that he has shown us to come because he has led us to the truth of it. Does that make sense? First John 4 tells us to test the spirits. That we're to test the spirits. Well, how can you test them if you don't know what the truth is? Because you won't know what the truth or isn't the truth. So the Holy Spirit, that manifestation of the Holy Spirit working in us, leads us to the truth. And then it says he'll show us things to come. That dream that I had, that vision that I had that night when I heard the audible voice of God. And I'll just tell you what the voice said. I won't go into the details of the dream, but the voice said, "Stop the foolishness." Stop. And it was a very, y'all probably had him before, very vivid, very real, very lifelike dream in the setting that I was in. In fact, I drew a picture of it, and I haven't found that picture. I believe that picture is going to resurface at the right time for some reason. I drew a picture of what I saw in my dream. It was so vivid. It was so real to me. But that voice, and it was an audible, it said, "Stop the foolishness." You see, I had gotten to a point where I was ignoring or putting down what I was hearing on the inside. So I believe it took that shaking, that audible voice, to jar me out of that and to make me pay attention. But he doesn't operate. He wants to speak to you in that small, still voice. He wants you to recognize that small, still voice. He wants you to have such a relationship with Him that you hear Him on the inside. That stirring on the inside. But it says to test the spirits. That's why He's leading you into the truth. So that when He shows you things to come and they happen, you'll know that it is of God. Or if anyone gives you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, you need to compare that with what the Word of God says. Amen? Don't just take it and run with it. Compare it to what the Word of God says. It must line up with what the Word says. Amen? You had better test that and compare it to the Word. And here's an example of, and I'll use Paul. You know, we know the story. Paul was a prisoner and being sent to Rome because he had appealed to Caesar. So he was going to Rome and he was in chains. It didn't have to happen that way, but because of he was a little rebellious, that's the way it happened. He had to go to Rome in chains. And so he was on the ship. And y'all know the story, right? And Paul gets on the ship and he says, "Gentlemen, I believe that this journey is going to end perilous." And I'm paraphrasing. You know, loss of life, loss of goods. And they ignored what he said. They ignored what he said. And we all know the story. They got, you know, they were shipwrecked and stranded. But in the midst of that, they were going through this storm. I think it was 14 some days they'd been without food. And the storms were coming against them. And they were trying to go this way. And they were being driven by the wind. And Paul stood up and said, and this is a word of wisdom. I mean, the first word of wisdom he gave was ignored. This was a word of wisdom. He said, I perceive that all lives will be saved. And we know the story. The ship was torn up. They dropped anchor and they torn up and they were stranded on Malta is the name of the island. And all lives, we have record that all lives were spared. That's an example of a word of wisdom going forth. But it wasn't God opening up the clouds and speaking to Paul in an audible voice. He was telling Paul, you know, tell him there's going to be loss of life if you go on this journey. Well, they ignored it. But I believe because of Paul and because of what Paul had to do, their lives were saved. And he gave them that other word that all lives would be spared. They ignored him and pressed on, but had not been for Paul, they certainly would have perished. But later they did listen and all were saved. How many times have we missed the leading of the Spirit? How many times have we missed that inner witness? How many times has the Lord spoken something to us and we brushed it off? Oh, not now, maybe later. Oh, that's not for me. I could never do that. Lord, I could never go talk to a country music band that is nationally known. Who am I, a hick from the hills of Virginia, to go and minister to? Who am I to go and minister to a nationally known country music band, a hick from Virginia? You see, Judy could have ignored that. But I believe because she was obedient, lives are going to be changed. And each of us, I guarantee you, every single one of you could stand up and say, I've had an instance where that has occurred, where I had a leading of the Lord, and I ignored it. I've told you this one before. We lived in Florida. There was this girl, Nikki actually went to school with her. She was, but this was years after when we lived down there. Being tormented, demonically tormented, would walk around just talking to herself and gyrations, walking down the street in this small town. Well, we went to McDonald's to eat. And she was sitting over in the corner, and I was with the kids, Nikki and the kids and I. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, if you will go over and lay your hands on her and pray for her, I'll deliver her. What did I do? I cowered at my seat. I didn't obey. I didn't obey. I missed it. I missed that leading of the Lord. How many of us has that happened to, where the Lord has led you to do something or to say something or something simple, like buy someone's meal or to go and just say, you know, the Lord told me to do this. I mean, we cowered. It's okay. I've been there. And I believe that Lord sent someone else along that girl's path and she's delivered now. I don't know why. That's where my confession is, that I believe that she's been delivered of that. But how many times has the Holy Spirit ministered? And you've got to recognize it. Listen, some of it's in ignorance, right? I mean, because we just don't recognize it. Or maybe we're even callous to it. Or we've seared our conscience to the leading of that small, still voice on the inside of us. But we need to have that such a relationship. Such a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us that we hear that voice, we recognize that voice, and two, we step out in steps of faith on that voice. Tricia, when she was up, spoke about honoring, and she was talking about the prophetic word, you know, words that have gone forth over this congregation and honoring those words and putting value on those words. But you can take that to any word that you receive. Any word that you receive, you need to value it. You need to honor it. I'll give you just an example that I wasn't planning to share this. I think it fits. I got a call last week. It was a voicemail on my machine, and person I didn't know had asked for us to come. If there was anyone that had a gift of healing that could come and lay hands on her husband so that he could recover. And so I called her back. We played phone tag for a couple days, but we finally got in touch. And she said, is there anyone? And so and it was funny. She wanted verifiable healings, right? And I said, well, all I can say is I can give my testimony. I gave her my testimony. I said, we are a house of faith. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in laying on of hands. We believe in healing. I said, I can't guarantee your husband will be healed, but I can guarantee you that the ones that come and lay hands and pray for him have faith that he can be healed. So we set up a time, and it was going to be later the following week, and you could tell. I said, well, let me talk to some people and see what we can arrange. And we were going to go the following week. And you could hear in her voice the disappointment, because she was hoping for something sooner. And when we got there, you realize the dire situation that they were in. But so I called Gene and Judy, and they live not far from them. And we went to this house. And we spoke to the wife. And we went in. He was bedridden pretty much. And went in. And before that, Jean had ministered to the wife. And she had received the baptism. They'd wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And Jean ministered to her. And she received that. She received that baptism, which is going to help tremendously, immensely, give her peace. Let her pray forth the things of God that she may not understand. She can pray in that prayer language and pray that perfect will of God, that perfect prayer for that situation. But what I'm getting to is about hearing something and acting on it. So I don't know any of y'all that really know my wife, you know, I'd say intimately, but closely. She's not one to speak out about anything. To the thought of her coming up here and standing, I believe, causes tremors in her body. she's just not that person. And so as we were praying for this gentleman lying in the bed, we had prayed and we were praying in tongues, and he has the gift of tongues, and that's being developed in him, I believe. But as we were praying, We had finished praying. Gene, help me if I'm getting any of this out of order. We had finished praying. And my wife, my timid little, doesn't want to speak out wife, she said, as we were praying, I had a vision. And I know it's going to sound ridiculous. I know a country hick praying for a nationally known a cappella group is ridiculous. She said, but she didn't say that. She said, I know that this is going to sound ridiculous, but this is what I saw. Tim, I saw you standing on a stage giving your testimony. And he broke down. He said, that's what I've been believing for. He said, that is confirmation. That is the only thing that I have been able to hold on to. Because I want to give my testimony. And I've seen myself standing on a stage giving my testimony. And he said, I mean, frail. Listen, I mean, we didn't see his body because he was under covers. But if you've ever seen any pictures of the concentration camps in Nazi Germany where they were just so emaciated there was nothing but bones left. This is the dire situation this man is in. But you saw his eyes light up. You saw hope come into him. And he said, what did I look like? And she said, you had big muscles. And that, I'm telling you, he grabbed hold of that. He grabbed hold of that and he said, that's what I was seeing. That's what I'm believing for. That is what happens when we act on that small, still, inner voice and we get a word of the Lord, from the Lord, and we step out on it. That is not my wife. She even said, this is not me. I don't do this. But sometimes we have to. In fact, all the time we should. Step out in faith, knowing that God... Listen, I don't doubt someone else could have... We were the third group that had come in there to pray for this man. In fact, she had called that. I got home. I come up here on Saturday night sometimes, and there was a message on my machine, and I listened to it, and it was the wife, and she had called. I guess we were either on our way or already en route, and she called and said, she'd said, today's probably not, it's a really bad day for him. You probably shouldn't come. He's not real receptive, you know, and I don't know how it's going to turn out, so if you haven't left yet, you probably ought not come. We were the third group. Can you imagine, you know, two other groups coming in there and praying and believing for him and his condition's getting worse. But praise God, we pressed on. We went. It was a divine appointment. A divine appointment. And God is speaking to you. He's speaking to each one of you for moments like that. I mean, it may not be that situation, but there. I mean, just little things. We were talking about not only believing and having faith for the big things and acting on the big things, but the little things, you know. Because it may seem little to you, but it may be tremendous to the person that you minister that to. Just like that story of the girl sharing a smile on the path while she's running changed a man's life. Her smile changed his life, changed his destination, changed his destiny from hell to heaven. Whatever the Lord is speaking to you, be obedient and obey. So how do you know? Well, Scripture says right there, those four things. He's teaching you how many things? All things. He brings all things to your remembrance. He guides us to all truth. I'm not making this up. It's in the book. And he shows us things to come. He shows us things to come. How many times has the Spirit of the Lord ministered something to you in a service like this? And you walk out the door, you go to eat lunch, you go back home to take a nap, you do whatever you do on Sundays after you meet here and you forget all about it. How many times Have you been in a setting like this and the Lord ministers something to you and you write it down, you jot it down, but then you never go back and really meditate on what the Lord was trying to tell you? We need to, and this was what Tricia was talking about, I believe, give honor and value to that word. And there'll be times I've been in a service and taking notes, and the speaker will say something, and it'll bring something to my mind that's in a totally different area, not even what they're talking about. And I'll go over there and I'll jot something down, or I'll list what the Lord was speaking to me on that specific moment. And then I'll go back and I'll be listening to the message, comparing to my notes. And my notes don't have anything to do with what the speaker is saying. I'm like, what am I doing? Well, the Lord was speaking something specific to me that was triggered by what the speaker was saying. And that's okay. That's okay. In fact, we need to run with those leadings. That's the Lord leading you into a truth. Into a truth. But how many times have we walked out and just ignored it, forgotten it, or sometimes just flat out refused and been disobedient? How many times? You see, when we're not in alignment with the Holy Spirit, we stifle His ability to move in us through His gifts in what most would say that is the manifestation of. What is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Oh, it's healing, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, great faith. You know, most people would say that's the man. Now the manifestation is that small, still inner voice on the inside of you. And when we're obedient in those four areas, when we understand that He's teaching us something, that He's leading and guiding us into truth, that He's showing us things to come, then those gifts, I believe, will be in operation to a deeper or larger degree, if I can put it that way. We get in alignment with Him by honoring the word that is taught. Honoring, listen to these things, honoring the word that is taught by remembering the word that is taught, by being led by our inner witness to the truth, so that we don't err when He shows us things to come. And when we are in alignment, He can save us out of situations. It's what we've been talking about prayer a lot, you know, about going out ahead in prayer. Going out ahead in prayer. Going out ahead in prayer can save you out of situations that you don't even know are coming. Going out ahead in prayer. Honoring and valuing the word that... And I'm not saying the word that I'm speaking. I'm talking about the word that the Lord drops in your heart. Not ignoring it. Not brushing it off. Not putting it on a shelf. But comparing it to the Word of God. And honoring that word. And acting on it. Why? Because lives depend on it. Did you hear me? Lives depend on you. That's how precious you are. That's how important you are. I read a statement about some missionaries a few weeks back, maybe in a month, I don't remember. That when they would go into a new territory, they're missionaries, so they would go, I believe they were church planters, go into different areas, they would pray ahead of time. And they would believe God that He would give them the key to unlock that area where they were going into. They prayed ahead of time. They went out ahead of time in prayer. And they said God never disappointed. He always gave them the key to open up the door to that area. Because there's different cultures out there, different beliefs. But they believed that there was a key that would help them get their foot in the door otherwise. There's a key to the New River Valley. I believe you all are part of that key. I believe you all make up that key. I believe God has placed you in this body because he saw fit that you would be here, because he needs you in this time, in this day, in this age, in the season that we're in. He needs you. Everybody wants to be needed, don't they? Isn't that a good feeling when you're needed? Parents, when your kids come to you and say, "Daddy, can you help me with this? I just can't make it work." "Oh, yes, I can do that for you, of course." Isn't it good to be needed? I'm telling you, God needs you more than you know. God needs you more than you even know or realize. And he's trying to tell you. He's trying to teach you. He's trying to show you things to come. He's trying to lead you into that truth. And he's given you the ability to remember it through his Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. The greatest gift that we have. And there are other things tied to that. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift we have in operation. Look, Jesus is sitting beside the Father. He said his work is finished. It's the Holy Spirit that remains. It's the Holy Spirit that is working with us, in us, through us. It's when we went to visit that couple, I shared out of James 5. I said, "Look, we're going to pray. We're going to anoint you with oil. But the word says that the Lord is going to raise you up. Not our prayers or the oil or look, it's just olive oil, right? Anointing. But we have faith behind that. But it was the Lord doing it. When they went out, it was the Lord. When the disciples went out, it was the Lord working with them that they were able to perform the miracles and do the things that they were doing. The Lord will work with you. He'll work with you. He'll do the work. You just got to show up. You just got to be available, right? You just got to be fat, right? Faithful, available, teachable. Don't get all fat. Faithful, available, and teachable. You just got to be fat. He wants to use you. He does. Amen. Wanda, do you want to share about honoring the word and your testimony of how he kept you? Yeah.
I asked Pastor Todd if I could do this. I can't help not do this. It's really strange for me. I don't share testimonies very much, but ever since Tricia taught on honoring God, honoring the Word, honoring the Holy Spirit, just honor, it's been so strong on my heart. So I want to share a testimony to honor God and his keeping power. A month ago, I was in Roanoke, and we were going to the indoor track meet. And I was walking along, and the sidewalk was just a brick-type sidewalk, but it had a little curb on the side. And as I was walking, my right foot caught the curb, and I fell. But I want to tell you how I fell. You ever seen somebody fall in like a pool, and they do a belly flop? You ever seen, I don't know, belly buster, I don't know what that's called. Well, anyway, I fell. I did a belly buster on concrete. And it was strange. After I got up, I looked at Dusty and I said, "I'm sure that was quite a sight." And I did get up. Thank God I got up. But when I fell, I went forward. I put this hand out. I fell flat on my stomach. When I remember my head going back like this, and my glasses came off. Well, I turn over, I get up, and I'm going about my business, and I actually fell on this hand just a little bit, and we're going inside. It hit me a little bit later. We're watching the track meet, and I said, Dusty, my face should be messed up, shouldn't it? And he said, yeah. He said, when you rolled over, I really thought you were going to be all bloodied. And I said, it didn't happen. He said, I think an angel caught your face. And I said, it would have had to have been. And then the breath should have been knocked out of me. And I don't know if you've ever had the breath knocked out of you, but that's very, very uncomfortable. So I'm sitting there a little bit longer, and this arm, this hand here was hurting, and a really nice gentleman had got me ice, and I'm sitting there, and I thought, okay, my face wasn't messed up, and the breath didn't get knocked out of me. So I don't think I need to have a hurt wrist either. I really did. So I sat there, and I'm watching the track meet very quietly to myself. I got my hand on top of the ice bag, and I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, because I thought, you know what? When God takes care of you, God takes care of you. Well, I want to back up just a minute. When I fell, one of the first thoughts that came to me was, I didn't expect this morning. And then another thought, I didn't pray enough this morning. You know, that's kind of an accusation from the enemy. Because I tell you what, I did pray that morning, and maybe if I hadn't prayed. And also, you know, God went out ahead, and he took care of me. And so I thought, this is wonderful, this is great. Didn't think about sharing a testimony until last night. We had dinner with someone, and a friend of hers had fallen like I did, and she broke her nose. She had to have surgery twice on her nose. She bruised up her face. She scratched up her face, and it took her a long time to recover. And it was like, once again, God said, I really took care of you.
Amen.
And so I want to give him praise and thanks this morning.
Amen.
For taking care of me so much. I want to give honor where honor is due. And this is working great, too.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, a similar thing, and just when you were saying that, brought it back to my remembrance, Kenna, when she was, how long ago was that, 9 years old, maybe? In her bedroom, and this was back when the TVs were gigantic, and they were huge. They were probably like this deep. You know, not these, y'all probably don't even know what I'm talking about, some of you. Huge TVs, right? She had a huge TV on a chest of drawers in her room. And I think she was pulling a drawer out to get something. And that thing tipped. And that TV was coming down on her. And by her own words, she felt something tug her back or pull her back. And she was softly sat down in a seating position on the floor. And that TV didn't get anywhere near her. What does Psalms 91 say? He's given the angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. They will bear you up. They will bear you up. That was an angel. That was an angel. I bet your glasses weren't even broken.
No.
These are testimonies. This is honoring the word. This is honoring what God has done for us by giving our testimony. And that may be something that you step out on in faith. You know, we've been talking about listening to that inner witness, listening to that small, still voice. He may tell you, I want you to share your testimony with that person over there. You may not know that person from Adam. That's what Tim said to us in the day. He says, y'all came out here and I don't even know you from Adam. I don't know you from Adam and you came out here to pray for me. Anyways, so I just want you to understand that the Holy Spirit works on the inside of us. He will teach you things. And when he teaches you, he will bring them to your remembrance. He leads and guides you into truth. And he will show you things to come. if you remain sensitive to that Holy Spirit on the inside, if you will develop that gift that is placed on the inside of you, He can save you out of situations. You know, I've heard, and I don't know the specifics, and Wanda shared some 911 stories this morning, but I've heard other testimonies where people, when 911 happened and the towers came down, people felt impressed to stay home from work that day that worked in the tower. Or they felt impressed to not get on that plane that day. How many times does that happen? And we ignore it and we go right along with it. You know, how many times does it happen to us where the Lord's saying, you know, go speak to that person or do this for a friend, or, you know, and we ignore it. Don't ignore it. Take that step of faith. Take that step of faith and watch God show up. Amen.